over that man struggles to understand who God is and his ways. In Job chapter 11 and verse 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, and I'm not going to have these read. You know, we can make note of them. What comes out over and over is that God and his ways are past finding out. So we cannot just sit down and just imagine what God is. But fortunately for us, God has not left us in the dark. Fortunately for us, God has revealed himself, and he has done so in different facets. God has revealed himself in nature. God has revealed himself in the way that he has interacted with man through the generations, through the dispensations. In fact, in the passage that was read by Brother Chad earlier, we see that God has, in different times and in different ways, he has spoken to man. So he has interacted with us through the dispensations. And when you say dispensation, what are you talking about? Well, God has, you know, we can think about three distinct periods in which God has related to man in different ways. We have the patriarchal period, where God spoke to his children through the head of the house. So we would see him interacting with Isaac, with Abraham. We would see him interacting with Noah. And so we see that in this dispensation, God made himself known to man. His interaction with man caused us to get an insight into who he is. Well, we also have the Mosaic system. So after the patriarchal system, then God chose a special set of people, the Israelite. And to the Israelite, he gave special commands and instructions, precepts, statutes, for which they should be obedient. And he guided them in terms of who he is and his expectation of them. And in a sense, this dispensation was a preparation dispensation. And so we need to understand and recognize that during the period of the Mosaic law and the law guiding Israel, then at that time, God was not so much talking to the fathers, but he would have codified his will for his chosen people. And so the people in Moses' days and thereafter did not seek to, for example, build an ark like Noah did, because they would have now understood by looking at the statutes, the precepts, codified by Moses, were codified by God at the hands of Moses. So they didn't look there. And so we recognize that God at different times spoke to different persons in different ways. But let's read Hebrews just to give us a bearing in where we are. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says,
God who at sundry times and in divers manner
he spoke in time past, and this is a crucial word, past, in time past unto the fathers
by the prophets.
And so this again highlights that God often speaks to his people through the prophets. Read.
Hath in these last days.
And what we are seeing here is a contrast. You know, we could have easily said, but. You know, so in time past he did this, but now he's doing it this way. He does it how?
Spoken unto us by
his son. He speaks to us by his son. And so this marks the third dispensation. And so just as when the Mosaic law came into effect, when God, because he had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt, and for this reason he gave them the law in preparation for Jesus Christ, just as that dispensation of the patriarchal age ended and the Mosaic stepped in, so it is that now we are ushered into the Christian age where we are guided by the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we no longer look to the law for instruction because it is nailed to the cross. It has been passed away. And so we are now in the Christian dispensation. And brethren, let us not confuse the dispensations. But let me try to come back to what really I want to be saying. Because we are looking at the fact that God has revealed himself and that he has done so in his interaction with man through the ages. Through the dispensations, he has interacted with man, and in so doing, he has revealed himself. But not only is it that God has revealed himself through the generations in his interaction with man, but he has revealed himself in nature. And so we see in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, it says, shows his handiwork. Yet for me, Acts chapter 14, verse 15 through 17, and again it speaks to nature and the fact that even without the written word, even without what is codified and left for us to be guided, God by his creation and in nature, we get a sense of who God is. And so Acts chapter 14 and verse 15 says,
and saying,
yes,
sirs, why do ye say these things? Why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you.
Read.
And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities.
Okay, at Acts 14, 15 to 17, continue.
Unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all things.
So he, God, he made heaven and earth. Read.
Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness.
Nevertheless, God is indeed a creator. We can see that in nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, he has created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all things that are therein. We just need to look at nature. We just need to look around us, and we can see that this didn't happen by accident. That God is indeed a creator. But then I like verse 17. It says, nevertheless. Read.
Nevertheless, He left not
he himself, left not himself
without witness. In that he did good.
In that he did good.
And gave us rain from heaven.
And gave us rain from heaven.
And fruitful seasons.
He has given us fruitful seasons.
Filling
our hearts with food
and gladness.
And gladness. We have to give God thanks because he is indeed good to us. God has not just created this world, but he has sustained us. So we can see from the very nature around us that we serve a great God who created us. But he's not just a God who just created us, but he put things in place to sustain us. And that is a good witness. Just a few weeks, months ago, we were crying for drought. Drought was on us. The levels were low. All right, and they tell us that, we might go back there soon. But God gives us rain. He gives us a fruitful season. So we have a lot to give God thanks for. But nature reveals that there is a God. And while it does not point us to some of the other things that God has revealed himself to be, it does show that he is our sustainer. He's a God in whom we can depend because he didn't just create us and left us there. I have had reason to say to persons a couple times, that it's one thing to be able to buy something. It's another thing to maintain it. And so sometimes, even if we should get a vehicle and we could go ahead and buy that vehicle, then we must ask ourselves, can I maintain it? And so we recognize that we serve a God who is not only our creator, but he's also our sustainer. So God has revealed himself through nature. He has revealed himself through his interaction with man through the ages. Where I want to spend the rest of the lesson is that God has revealed himself in his names. And while we could find about 100 words and names that we could use to describe God, the lesson won't allow us to delve so deep. But I want to invite your minds to join me as we look at some of the names that describe God and what does that say to us. Because even though I've made the distinction between his interaction with man and the names, it is interesting, and don't miss this now, it is interesting that the names of God usually comes as an outcome of God's interaction with man. Can you say that again? It is out of situations. It is as God interacts with man and reveals himself in that interaction that some of the names have come to fruition. That some of the names have come to be a reality for us. So in the names of God, many of them, the situation is very enlightening. Because let us really be true about this. Looking at nature, his creative power, and even in the way that things have been put in place to sustain us, It is really what God has revealed in His Word that gives us true insight to the God who we serve. You know, central to service to God, central to understanding who God is the concept of faith. And there's an interesting lesson in respect to faith that we should hold on to. It is impossible to serve God and to please God without faith. That's Bible. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so what we recognize too is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you saying, brother? I am putting it to us that God's revelation of Himself is best understood from looking to His word. Because if we are to serve Him, then we must have faith. And if we are to have faith, then the precursor to that is to hear His word. So let us examine for a few minutes some of the names, and not just the names, but the situation, the interaction that brought this understanding to us about who God is. Because God has indeed revealed Himself to be El Shaddai. El Shaddai. You know, I think I just spoke to some of us in an unknown tongue. El Shaddai. That don't sound like English. So as Christianity would dictate, if I speak in an unknown tongue, then I need to have some interpretation done. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Not only is God Almighty, not only is He our El Shaddai, but He's also our Rapha, our Rafi. Unknown tongue again. Rafa, Rafa. God is the Lord who heals. God has revealed Himself not only to be El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, but God has revealed Himself in Scripture to be Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. He is the Lord who sees to it. And so in the Word of God, edged in the revelation given by God's graciousness, we recognize that we have a God who provides. And isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Jehovah Shalom? Shalom. The Lord of peace. And so it is truly God that gives us peace. In a world of war and in situations of turmoil, then we need a Lord of peace. God in His words have revealed Himself not only to be El Shaddai, Rapha, Jireh, Shalom, but He is indeed our Elohim. And we saw insights into this When we had looked at Psalm 19, verse 1, and Acts 14, where it describes him as the creator. But one of the ideas behind Elohim is that he is not just creator, but he's also judge. And this is interesting because it is probably easy for us to examine the revelations of God and just pick out that he is peace, that he is the God who sees to things. He is the God Almighty, he is the God who heals. But let us get a balanced view of God, because he has revealed himself to be a God too that judges. Not only Elohim, but he is Jehovah Nissi. Nissi, interpret, brother. The Lord is my banner. It is the Lord who lifts us up. And isn't that an assurance, brethren, that we have a God who will lift us up? He will be our banner in the time of war. Not only that, but he is our Kana. Kana? Yes. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 tells us that while we have a Elohim, while we have a Jireh, while we have a Shalom, while we have an El Shaddai, that we have a God that is a jealous God. Do we have that? Acts chapter 20 and verse 15. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. Have you going all over the place?
Thou shalt not steal.
You mustn't steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
I can't read my own handwriting. It's verse 5. Verse 5.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them.
You should not bow down
thyself to them.
Or to any other God.
Nor serve them.
You mustn't serve any other God. Why?
For I, the Lord thy God.
I, the Lord thy God.
Am a jealous God.
I am a jealous God. So let us not feel that we can just serve any God we want. Let us not believe that we can just be obedient to any and anything. We must recognize that we must serve God the way he has dictated. If we serve any other God, if we have any other idols, if we put anything else before him, then God is saying to us, I am a jealous God. This we cannot see in nature. The fact that God has created the world does not point us in any way to the fact that he is a jealous God. He's just saying that he is a great God. He's Elohim. He's the God Almighty. Almighty. That's what the creation tells us. Even the fact that he sustains us, put things in motion to keep the world going, this does not give us the insight that God is a jealous God. And by him being jealous, it means that he has certain expectation of us. He expects us to follow him and to follow his words. You know, I could step back a few verses to give a context, but this is when, this is around when the law was being given. So this is a part of the interaction, you know, during the Mosaical age. You know, when, you know, Moses was coming down and giving the law as he had gotten it on Mount Sinai. But the truth rings true that he is indeed a jealous God. Let me step back to our Lord, our Jehovah Jireh, the the Lord who will provide. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11 following. It tells us, Genesis chapter 22, verse 11.
And the angel of the Lord.
And the angel of the Lord.
Called unto him out of heaven.
So he was talking to Abraham and out of heaven, and he said,
Abraham.
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 And he said, here am I.
You know, wonderful thing. When God calls, let us always be ready to answer him affirmatively. You know, I was interacting with somebody recently and said, you know, I was remembering my days in school. You know, teacher call your name and Fabian Webb, present miss. You know, but the person I was interacting with said, you know, they don't bother with the present miss. You know, let us make a sound. I don't know, you know, that's not what I was using. Yeah? You know. But here Abraham was called and he said, here am I. Read on.
And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad.
So what was the situation happening here? God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son, Isaac. His son of promise. You know, so while there was Ishmael, you know, this was the son of promise. And Abraham wasn't just saying, here am I. He was about to go and do what he was commanded to do. He was a man of faith. Read on.
Neither do
remember you're going. Remember you're going right down to verse 14.
Neither do thou anything unto him.
So here it is. He would have traveled miles and distance to go to where the sacrifice is to be made. He would have built the altar. He would have placed Isaac on the altar. Was about to do the final of the sacrifice. And what he heard? And he said, lay not thine hand on the lad. Read.
Neither do anything unto him.
Read.
For now I know that thou fearest God.
Because now I know that thou fearest God. I won't even be tempted to comment on that. Read on.
Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son.
You have not withheld your son from me.
Thine only son from me.
Read.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes.
And looked.
And looked.
And behold behind him.
And he saw a goat.
A ram.
A rammy goat.
Caught in a thicket by his horns.
Yes.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt
sacrifice
offering.
Was needed, and God provided the ram goat. And then now we see in this interaction with God and man, what has bored out this revelation about God. Because here is an obedient servant, Abraham, listening, following through on the test that God would have presented to him. And aren't we all tested? Yes, we are. A lot of times we fail the test, but we are being tested continually. And here, God provided the lamb. And in verse 14 it says,
And Abraham Call the name of that place.
Call the name of that place.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Because in this place, God revealed himself. In this interaction, God revealed himself to be the Jehovah Jireh. The God who provides. When we are striving, brethren, to be obedient to Almighty God, and it calls for us to make sacrifice. And in that call for sacrifice, we're wondering how things are going to play out, but we decide to demonstrate faith and trust in Almighty God. Because when we give the collection, we know that all the bills are not yet accounted for. But it was really because I had done some overspending why the bills are so high. It is because I had responded to another type of need. It is because I was not prudent. And so things look like it's not going to match up. But I decide that I'm going to trust God, to be faithful to God, and to give as I ought to give. I'm going to sacrifice, because when a brethren comes to me and puts their situation to me, and I dig a little deeper, it's not really out of extra money that I've done that, but I have decided to sacrifice something. But I trust God, and I have faith in God. We know that we have a God who will provide. You know, the challenge is that sometimes we fail the test, because God wants to give us some big things. And when he tests us, we just buckle under it. But God has revealed himself in his interaction with man that he is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who sees to it. He is the God who provides. But not only have we seen God reveal himself in this way, and let me look at the time, because I'm gauging how many things I can talk about in this city. And so we see that God has also demonstrated himself to be Jehovah Nissi. And in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, I think that's where I got the 15 crossed up earlier. In Exodus chapter 17, and here we have again placed, you know, just on the brow of the Mosaic system, that God in Moses again revealed himself to man in his interaction, that he is the Lord our banner. And so in verse 15, it says,
And Moses built an altar. And called the name of it Jehovah Nissi.
So he called it Jehovah Nissi. But let's step back a few verses, because I just to give the context. Jump up to about verse 11.
And it came to pass,
yes,
when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed, mm-hmm, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
Okay, so Moses was at war. Aren't we at war sometimes? Yeah. We face struggle all the time. And God gave an instruction to Moses. You know, he says, you know, as you go to the war, you know, he was at war with Amalek. And he says, Moses, as long as you keep your hand up, you know, you'll win the war, you'll win this battle. But if you put it down, you're going to lose. The war never take a short time. Yeah, by the way, you used to get that punishment in school. Eh? You have to hold your up in the corner. You are all good behaving. You never get that type of punishment. Probably just me alone was bad child. Or simple, stand up and raise your hand. And it seemed like that's a simple punishment. But after a few minutes, the hand gets heavy. And you can't keep it up. Moses was in a similar predicament. And in this situation, when his hands got tired, he had to get help. And let me just pause here and say, brethren, that we should help one another. We are not in a war that other persons and other Christians are not at. The devil, we have a common enemy in him. And so when we are in our struggle, it is good to know that we can lean on a brother, that we can lean on a sister to help to keep our hands up. For us to demonstrate that we have a God who is our banner, who will help to lift us up. And so let us lift up one another. Let us encourage one another. You know, congregation, I want to say that you have taught me a lesson. Because I realize that probably I don't say as often to like Brother Mitchell over the years, you know, how much I appreciate his lesson. How much I'm encouraged when he comes and he teaches, feeding our souls. But you all have done wonderfully well where I'm concerned. You know, you guys, you brethren, you have been encouraging in the words that you have said. So you have helped to keep my hands up. We are in this thing together. But you know, I want us to get a message out of this, and especially for our visitors who are here with us, that while God is our banner, while he's there for us, while he will lift us up and cause us to be victorious in our wars and in whatever battles we fight, we want to recognize that God is here conditionally. Notice that in this interaction with Moses, this interaction with mankind, that God, the Lord Nissi, the Lord, our banner, he was there conditionally. Because it is only as Moses' hand was lifted up that he would win the battle against the tribe of Amalek. And so, it is sometimes easy, friends, to say, yes, I believe in God. Yes, God is mighty. Yes, God heals. Yes, God is my provider. God is peace. But we must recognize that if God has told us to do something, then he expects us to keep our part of the bargain. And so he has clearly taught us in this dispensation that if we are to serve him, if we are to demonstrate that we love him, if we are to keep his commandments, If we are to please him in the way we act, in what we are and what we do, then it is important that we obey the plan of salvation. And so, are you holding up your hands? In order to get to that state then, brethren, friends, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent and change self-self to God-centeredness. We need to make that change, that turn around. God has demanded all men everywhere to repent. We need to confess the name of Jesus Christ. We need to confess that he is the Son of God. We need, friends, to join in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by coming in contact with the water, baptism. Yeah, it is only as we take on that banner, it is only as we lift up our hands in that way to say, yes, I am in allegiance with you, God. It's only as you wear the name Christian that you have that banner that God is to us. And so God is demonstrating beyond the fact that he is our banner, our Jehovah Nissi, that he is a conditional God. Yes, he is a God that places and restricts his grace, his mercy on conditions. And time won't allow me to relate over and over in interaction with man that he is a God of condition. We just need to reflect just a little bit on Noah. God wanted to save the world, but he restricted himself to the ark, to one boat. God wants to save the whole world today in this dispensation, but he has restricted himself to one church. In the dispensation of Moses, God wanted, like he does now, all men to be saved, but he restricted himself to one nation. So what are we seeing? We are seeing that in the dispensation of the patriarchs, like Noah, one ark. In the dispensation of Moses, one nation. In the dispensation of Christianity, one church. And so we should recognize that while God wants to save, he has restricted himself. He has placed condition. And so that is not revealed by God being creator. That is not revealed by God being sustainer. But God has revealed himself to be that in the way he has interacted with man. Indeed, brethren and friends, in what he has revealed himself to be in his name. Let me look at my time. I should be wrapping up. Can I sneak in one more? Yeah, just one. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rophe. The Lord that heals. Can we get a glimpse into what occasioned this name? In Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 following. We are told, about the background to this name. Read for me, please. Pick up at verse 22.
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea.
So here it is that Moses was carrying the people of Israel out of Egypt. Read.
And they went out into the wilderness of Shur.
So they went through the Red Sea and they now into the wilderness.
And they went 3 days in the wilderness.
And they went 3 days into the wilderness.
And found no water.
No water. Weren't we talking about drought earlier? No water. Desert. Wilderness. Read on.
And when they came to Marah.
And they came to Marah.
They could not drink of the waters of Marah.
You see what is happening here? So they were traveling for a while. No water. Can you imagine how they feel nice when they reach Marah? We find water. They probably start singing same time, you know, Jehovah Jireh. But read further. When they could not drink, so even though they reached Marah and they found water.
For there were bitter.
They found water, but it was bitter water.
Therefore, the name of it was called Marah.
So even though they found water, it was bitter water. So they give it a name, Marah. Read on.
And the people murmured against Moses.
And the people murmured against Moses.
Saying, what shall we drink?
What shall we drink?
And he cried unto the Lord.
And he cried unto the Lord.
And the Lord showed him a tree.
And the Lord showed him a tree.
Which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet.
can we savor this? What is your bitter water? Because this life not pretty. It threw enough bitterness our way. And my bitter is not necessarily your bitter. But the truth is that as we sojourn, we often get thirsty. And what we look to for satisfaction turns out to be bitter. Sometimes we desire a new job. And when we get the job, bitter job. Some of us, we desire certain pleasures. And when the pleasure comes, it comes with bitterness. Our lives are full of bitterness. It's not always smooth. Not always easy. Sometimes we yearn to a stage where we don't have a particular issue anymore. But when we reach there, other issues start to come up. You know, so as a young person, you know, say, boy, this was my school work. You know, just school, all over. You are dying for school time to end. And when you leave school, bitter. You wish you were back in school. So, you know, we could talk about the bitterness. But can we move towards the sweetness? Because even though there is bitter water that causes us to grumble, causes us to murmur as the children of Israel did to Moses, we have a God who can heal. And so when Moses cried and interacted with God, again, man's interaction with God, God revealed himself to be the healer. And when he had cast into the waters.
The waters were made sweet.
The waters were made sweet.
There he made for
there them. There he made them a statute.
And an ordinance.
An ordinance.
And there
he proved them. Read on.
And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God,
yes,
and wilt do that which is right in the sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments,
yes,
and keep all his statutes,
yes,
I will put none of these diseases upon thee.
I will put none of these diseases upon thee,
which I have brought unto the Egyptians.
I will not give you any of these diseases that are brought on the Egyptians.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals. I am the one who will keep you from these diseases. You know, it is easy for us to have missed something. Because in this healing, again we see that we serve a God who is a conditional God. Because in being our healer, you know, when we talk about healing, you know, sometimes our minds just go straight to physical healing. But you know, God is the greatest healer of the soul, our spiritual healing, and that is our greatest disease that we need to have healed. You know, and some of us, it's not just physical, biological healing we need, but sometimes we need some mental healing. Sometimes psychologically we need to talk things through. Sometimes we just need to relate and allow our physical to become in tune with our spiritual. So we need that connect. And so God is the God who heals. And so we get that assurance from him. But pick up again at verse 26. And said,
if thou wilt diligently hearken, and said, if,
you know what that if is pointing to? The condition. It is not so across the board. And said, if thou wilt
diligently,
if thou wilt diligently hearken
to the voice of the Lord thy God.
So if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, and if
thou wilt,
and if you will do
that which is right,
that which is right in his sight. Friends, are you willing today to do what is right in the sight of God? Brethren, and are we willing to do what is right in the sight of God? How is it? Other verse, and said what?
And start the verse again.
And
if thou wilt diligently,
you're going too fast still.
If
pick up with me now. And if
thou wilt diligently
give ear. Remember, don't let me confuse you now, no, brother. You with me? We're talking about the conditional God. And we saw first, all right, let me go slowly with you. All right? You make me know finish early today, Brother Wilson. And said, if
thou wilt give ear.
Thou wilt give ear. All right, you catch up now. All right. So, and if you will give ear to his commandments, and if
you keep all his statutes.
If you keep all his statutes. So, you see that one if has many conditions?
Yes.
I'm going to go over it because I want to make sure you get it. Pick up at verse 26 again. God is about to say, I am your healer. He's demonstrating that that's what he is. And he says, if
Thou wilt diligently.
So if we diligently hearken to the voice, that's one. If we will do
that which is right.
And if you will do that which is right, that's two. What is right in his sight. And if
ye give ear.
If you will give ear to his commandments. And if
you keep all his statutes.
You will keep all his statutes. Then
I will put none of these diseases.
Your healer. Because I'm going to take care of all the needs that you have. All the sicknesses that you have, I will deal with it, including the real sickness that we have of sin. So God has revealed himself to be many things. In nature, yes. But in his interaction with man, in his names. And we are seeing here that God has revealed himself in many interactions. He has. He has. You know, time has slipped on me. You know, we have seen interactions where God has revealed himself in his names in the patriarchal system. And we have been seeing quite a few just now in terms of the Mosaic times. But you know, God has not stopped revealing himself. And so in the dispensation of Christ, he has continued to reveal himself. At some later time, we look at the fact that he has revealed himself to be the Alpha, the Omega, the horn of our salvation. He is the bright and morning star. You know, but at a later time, we can delve into that. But we want to leave with you that God has revealed himself in many ways. But what we see coming through, friends, is that it is always conditional. So let's meet his condition and come to him, even today. Let us, as Christians, remain faithful to him by keeping his commandments, his guide for us, as we continue to sojourn a life with him. We have a God Almighty, El Shaddai. A God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. A Lord, a God who heals. A God who provides, a God of peace. Our Elohim, our Nissi, our Kana. What a mighty God we serve. What's the song of invitation? Song number 27. Let us be standing as we sing. Let us not treat our wonderful God like a common thing. He has revealed himself to be a wonderful God. Come today as we sing. Song number 27.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Oh, he shed his life and atonement for sin. Praise the Lord, let the earth. things he has taught us, great things he hath, and greater rejoicing through Jesus than. But purer and higher and greater will be
seated. Wonderful lesson.
Amen.
The God who reveals himself, and what we are seeing is how he reveals himself in his name. I was toying with several songs. They as Brother Webb went on the God being the banner, leading us into victory. What song I was planning to sing was Lift High His Royal Banner. Then when he touched God being the great healer, I was toying with the great physician, now is near. And I was also toying with, Oh Lord my God, in awesome wonder. So there are several songs as he went through the lesson that came to mind. But God is great. And God has revealed himself, and we just need to trust and